produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to my radio family. I am so blessed and happy to be here today to share this broadcast with you. My name is Regina Keenan. My show is called Lioness Talk, It's Not That Easy. I pray that everyone are so far having a beautiful day, a beautiful morning. And I just thank God to be able to come to you again. I'm going to do my show today on family and the love for family. And I'm going to talk about the love that we should have for one another as family, the love that God had for us or has for us. My first scripture is going to be from Exodus 20 and 12. The word says, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. I'm doing this broadcast about family because I just got back from North Carolina this morning, and we buried my cousin. He was 44 years old. He got killed in a car accident. He was drinking and driving. It was a sad occasion, but we turned it into a homegoing. And it's crazy because the funeral was scheduled Saturday, and so was our cousin's wedding. It made me think about how every year for the past, I think, 10 years, I haven't been to my family reunion. So as I sat there at the funeral and looked around in the church at all my family sitting there, I drove down with my sister, and she could relate to most of the family that was there because she goes to the family reunion every year. And me not being there for the past 10 years, I realized how short life is. And I realized how we really need to spend time with family. Not even if you don't do anything but pick up the phone and call your loved one and say, hey, how's it going? Just wanted to reach out to you to say I love you. It takes just that quick of a second, couple of seconds, to pick up the phone and call a loved one to say you love them. Because when you lose a loved one, you can't tell them you love them. And they can't tell you that they love you anymore because they're gone. You can stand over their casket and you can look at them and say, I love you, I'm going to miss you. But it's nothing like being able to pick up the phone. It's nothing like being able to go next door or drive to your loved one's house. You know, spending family time with them is so, so very important. And I just looked at some Bible scriptures and I'm like, wow, you know, God loves us so much. And he takes the time every single day to show us how much he loves us. He doesn't take time away. He shows us when we wake up in the morning and we're able to breathe. That's God telling us he loves us. When we go to sleep at night and we wake up in the morning and we're healthy, we're able to get out of bed. That's God taking time to show us how much he loves us. Why can't we take that same time to tell our family members how much we love them? And I'm saying this to myself. I'm speaking to you as my family. I love you. I don't know everyone that is listening to this call, but I love you. I genuinely love each and every one of you, and I thank each and every one of you for getting on and listening to me every other Tuesday. But I realize how short life is. We all have a number, and we're all going to close our eyes one day and not wake up. My cousin didn't know that, you know what, I take that back, because I spoke to my godmother and she said that he had been having dreams and God was telling him in his dream to go to her and ask her what he said. And I think she said on four different occasions he came to her and said, I'm sending. God came to me and told me to come to you and ask you what he's saying. And she said, well, honey, I don't know what you mean. I don't know. God hasn't showed me anything. The only thing God has been telling me to tell you is get yourself together. Get right with him. And she said every time he came to her, that's what she told him. There was nothing else that she, you know, that God has showed her. Because she also was in a car accident and died multiple times, and they brought her back. And she actually, when she died, she went across, or as they say, she went over. You know, she saw the light, she saw her mom, her dad, and God spoke to her and showed her things. And whenever she came back, she was able to tell family members what God said. And I remember in church one day, a lady, one of the sisters, she had died from, I forgot how she died, I'm sorry. But she died, and God told her to come back and tell the pastor something and tell the church something. And she did. So we can actually die, and if it's not our time, we're not going to stay. He's going to send us back. And that's why I say family is so important, because if you have a loved one that you haven't spoken to in a very long time, go to that person and tell them you love them. Tell them how you really feel about them. Tell them how much you miss them. Say I'm sorry if you have something against them, if y'all have fell out for some reason. It's so important to talk to that family member and express to them how much you love them. Forgive them. You know, God's word says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And that's Proverbs 6 and 20. We do so many things from day to day, and we don't realize the things that we do wrong sometimes to our parents. I always try to be the child that God called me to be. I always tried to, I remember when I was younger, you know, me and my mother didn't always have the best relationship. And I used to hear my sister, the one that I rode down with, as she would speak to my dad or speak to her mom. I was like, in my mind, I'm like, if I spoke to mommy or daddy that way, I know God wouldn't be pleased. But I was the only grandchild that wasn't disrespectful to my elders. And I think that was one of the things that my sister hated about me, you know, because they always spoke highly of me and how respectful I was. But it was the way my mother raised me. And I never talked back to my parents. If they made me mad, I'm on that phone, and they've fussed, and okay. My thing would be, okay, Mom, okay, Dad, I see you're having a bad day, having a bad moment, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you go, and I'll call you back later, or you can call me back when you're feeling better, and that's the way I would put it, because I couldn't come out of my mouth to curse them or to argue with them. One, I know I'm going to get knocked upside my head, you know. But the word says, honor your mother and father for that day should be long upon this land. And I remember my grandmother and my uncle and my aunt always telling me that. And I would go to church and I would hear that. You know, the preacher would talk about that. And I'm like, okay, no matter what my parents say to me, I can't disrespect them because God is not going to be pleased. And it's Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. And that's something that I always played back to back in my head. And I'm like, I can't be that kid to disrespect my parents, you know, and I hear it. I would see it all the time or hear it all the time from kids, and I'm like, no, that's not right. And I just would say that because if we respect our parents, God is going to be happy and pleased with us. No matter what family member it is, you got to be respectful because what you come out of your mouth to say, you can't take back. It's like my cousin, he only had one child. He had a son. And my godmother said that they argued all the time. They didn't get along because my uncle and my aunt, which was my cousin's mom and dad, they raised his son. His mom didn't want him, so they took him. Well, when we got to the funeral, I saw him, and he just did not look right. And I said to myself, I know he's hurting because when his dad left, he probably didn't say, I love you. He probably didn't hug him. So now that pain is weighing down on his spirit. And my sister kept saying to me, she said, Perry, his name is Perry. She said, Perry just don't look right. He looks. I said, because he lost his dad, they didn't get along, and he probably wasn't able to say, Dad, I love you, because he didn't know when his father left that house, he would never return. Family, I encourage you today, if there's something, an ought or any harsh feelings that you have toward a family member, I encourage you, when you get off this phone call, call that family member. Make it right with them because we never know the time, nor the hour, nor the day, nor the month, the year. We don't know what number we are. We don't know when God is going to call us home, family. And I encourage you to make it right with every family member that you have. Tell them you love them. If you still have your parents living, I still have both my parents. When I went to the funeral, I had not spoken to my dad probably in a month. I was just a little upset with him because I asked him for something and he didn't do it. And me and my dad had always been close. I'm like the oldest one, and I'm 51. I'm the oldest of 10 kids. And my dad still considers me the baby. So when I saw him, you know, as I'm going down, I'm like, okay, I'm going to see Ernest. You know, that's my dad's name, Ernest. I'm going to see Ernest. I don't know how I'm going to feel when I see him because he made me mad. You know, me and my dad has always been so close. He lived in one state. I lived in another state. But we were always close. As a kid, when I wanted to go on a field trip, I lived in the house with my mommy. But I didn't ask my mom. I would get on the phone, Dad, can I go on a field trip? He said, what did your mom say? I didn't ask her yet. But can you say I can go? Because if you say I can go, mommy's going to say I can go. You know, that's how I would do it. And so I would always ask him. He would tell me yes or no. And then if he told me no, then I wouldn't worry about asking mama because I knew she was going to say no. But, you know, it's just our relationship. We'd always been so close. So when I saw Daddy, as at a funeral, standing on the church ground, I walked up to him. I said, hey, Ernest, he's your oldest, you know, being sarcastic. But I love my dad. I love my dad so, so very much. And I love my mom. And I did get to see her while I was there. And, you know, we hugged and embraced. And my mind, I'm like, life is so short. I never knew my 44-year-old cousin was going to, you know, it's like a group of us that are like doorsteps as far as, you know, the age range, and we're cousins. I never knew that one day, you know, we was going to be burying him. Because as you live your life, you always think that you're going to bury your parents. You never think that your parents are going to bury you. And that's another way of saying how short life is. I'm telling you, it's so sad and unfortunate when you lose a loved one. But like I said, family, I just encourage you to take this word today and love on your family. Love on your friends, but love on your family more. Show them how much you love them by a kind gesture. You know, when I came in this morning, we got home about 2 o'clock. And I walked in the house. My daughter and my grandkids was here, and I saw this little envelope laying on the ottoman, and it was blue. But it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. We just drove from North Carolina. So I didn't pay no attention. So I came to bed. So this morning, when my daughter was getting my grandson ready for bed, ready for school. She came in the room, and she said, you didn't see this? And I said, what? And she handed me a card, and I looked at it. It says, Selma Keenan. This is my first name. So I opened it, and I'm like, where did this come from? So it said, I'm going to read this card to you because I thought it was so sweet. And this also goes with my message today about loving your family. This card says, Dear Mom, I bought you this card to express my gratefulness. However you spell it. Appreciate my gratefulness and appreciation for you. Words can't express my love and how thankful I am for you. How thankful I am for all you have done and continue to do for me and my evil offspring. I mean, kids, LOL. I know I'm not always the best human to be around, and I don't have the best attitude either, but you put up with me. And it's always there for me, no matter what. You are a wonderful mother, and I couldn't have asked for a better one. Thank you for never giving up on me and always being there. I love you, Mom. And she says, I'm drawing a picture on the other side so it's not blank. She drew a picture of herself and the kids and a little tree and the moon, you know. And I thought that was so sweet. But it also, just this little gesture of kindness and love through this card. This is how we should do it, family. And it has encouraged me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and buy my mother and my father a card and send it to them. And I'm going to express to them how much I love them. And family, I encourage you to do the same thing. A little card and write in it what you feel about your loved one. And even if you draw a little picture like my daughter did, and my daughter's 25 years old, that right there means more than anything. You know, it's just something that simple to say, I love you. Family, we got to do better. And I can say that because I know I have to do better. And like I said, standing there with that coffin, looking at my 44-year-old cousin laying there and then knowing his lifestyle. But even though the lifestyle he lived, I still never would have thought we would be burying him at 44 through a freak accident, car accident, drunk and driving. But the good thing and the blessing is he didn't hit anybody, so nobody else died in this car accident. I hated to lose him, but, you know, most of the times when a drunk driver has an accident, they hit or kill someone else, and they usually live. But God had a number, and his number was up, and he showed it to him, even though he wasn't saved. His parents were, you know, deacons and mothers in the church. They taught him the right way. He just chose not to live the right way. But he knew who God was. And it's sad. So I also encourage you, a family member or even a friend that you know don't know Christ, I encourage you to share the word of God with them. Because 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always prevails. That's the love that God has for us. Matthew 15:4 says, for God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Wow. That scripture right there is so profound for such a time as this with losing my cousin. Because for 2 weeks straight, my cousin Samuel Boney cursed his mother from A to Z, talked nasty to her for 2 weeks straight, and she didn't understand why he would speak to her this way. Because he had never done it in 44 years of living. And he was adopted. They couldn't have kids, so they adopted him and his sister. And they adopted his son. But God says it right here in black and white. Matthew 15:4 again says, for God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father our mother is to be put to death. And the relationship that my aunt and uncle had with the Lord, I'm pretty sure that as much as they loved their son, I'm sure they reverted back to Matthew 15:4. Cursing your mother and father, you will be put to death. Family, I encourage you to pick up your Bible and read it. And if you have to put in scriptures on family or loving family, and just read the chapter of Matthew 15, read the whole chapter. We can't curse our parents, no matter how many times my parents have upset me. They've never heard me curse. And when I was living in the world, I did curse, but best believe when I got in front of my parents, I knew how to shut it off. And kids nowadays, they curse at their parents, they curse around their parents. My daughter just showed me a little clip on Facebook where this little girl, she had to be 4 years old. She was sitting there saying some stuff, and then at the end of what she was saying, she was like, F you. And her dad was laughing. He was laying right there with her. He was laughing. He was like, you better watch your mouth. If that had been me, my mother would have took out my tongue. My dad would have took out my teeth one by one. Kids nowadays don't respect their parents. But I said all that today. Excuse me. I brought this message to you today, family. Again, because walking down that church aisle to go view my cousin this weekend, it hurt me so bad, but it also gave me insight. It took me back to scripture, took me back to the word of God and what God says about how much he loves us, how he shows us his love for us, the things that he do for us. I encourage you to read your Bible. I encourage you, when you get off this call, if there's a loved one that you haven't spoke to, call them, talk to them, tell them you love them. Do like my daughter did. Go buy a card. Write in the card. Don't even get one with words. Do like she did. Just write in a, get a blank card, write in it, and tell your mother, your father, your children, or whoever it is how much you love them. That means so much. Life is too short, and we don't know when we're going to leave this earth. But we want to leave this earth, and we want to go see Jesus. We don't want to just go before him on Judgment Day, and then he say, turn his head and say, you are none of mine. I'm praying to God, please don't ever let that day come that you turn your back on me. Well, we don't want our family or our parents to turn their back on us. And there's parents that have turned their back on their children. You know, there was things that I did in my life that my dad wasn't proud of, and he cursed me out. And I divorced him for 5 years. I didn't speak to my father for 5 years, and it hurt me to the core. And I vowed that I would never do that again. I love my dad, and I will forever love my dad and my mom, no matter what they say, no matter what they do. I plan on picking up that phone, if it ain't but once a week, to say, hey, Mom, I love you. Well, I talk to my mom every day anyway. I don't talk to my dad because he's always busy working. But my aunt that I had not talked to at all probably this year, and we usually talk once a week or at least a couple times a month. When I got to my mom's house on Saturday after the funeral, I picked up that phone and I called my mom because the last time she was in North Carolina, my mom called me. She said, you could have picked up the phone and called your aunt, too. And I'm like, yeah, I could have, but why do I have to call her just because she's there with you? And I was being sarcastic, you know, and I shouldn't have been. But I picked up the phone and I called her. I don't have anything against her, but I called her to say I love you, you know. Hey, auntie, how are you? So from now on, and she's the oldest one in the family, her and my mom are the only children left, I plan on picking up the phone, calling her 2-3 times a month again. And I have a cousin that I got mad with her because I asked her one time to do something for me, and she denied me. And I blocked her on my phone. Today, I will be reaching out to her to say I'm sorry because she told my mom Saturday we was riding. She said, tell Gina, I said, hey, she knew I was upset at what she said, but life is so short. If I would have lost her, I would have been hurt because I know I blocked her out of my life. I said, I ain't never going to say nothing else to her. And this is my cousin. She's my childhood friend. She's always been my best friend, you know, going through school when I was going through things. She was always there. I could always talk to her. When I was going through a depression, I always had her when I was in school to call on. I will never do this again. And family, I encourage you, stay in God's word. Stay in your family's faith. Tell them how much you love them. If you block somebody like I did, and I'm sorry that I did it now, that seeing, you know, a loved one that I lost and seeing family I had not seen in a while, my reason for not going to the family reunion because, well, I have a reason, you know. But I told them next year I'm there. I'll be there, you know, because life is too short, God. I just want to say thank you, God, for all your blessings to me and my family, for the strength you give me each day, and for all the people around me who make life more meaningful. Family, I thank you for listening to me. I pray that you do the same thing. Take this message to heart and reach out to a loved one. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Remember that if you don't remember anything. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Read it, family. I love you. God bless you. Let this resonate in your spirit. Let it resonate in your heart. And know that no matter what anyone has done to hurt you, you know, love them anyway. Pick up that phone today. Call your family. Because if someone calls you tomorrow and say that they passed, you're going to be hurt. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want to be hurt. I'm going to do the same thing I'm asking you to do. God bless you, family. This is Regina Keenan. Lioness Talk, it's not that easy. And it's not that easy, we say, to forgive someone, but make it easy today. Think about how God forgave us. I love you. God bless you. And I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning. You're hearing the melodic tones of the song Tuesday Morning, and that means you're right on time as With Your Success in Mind hits the airways. Coast to coast and around the world, I'm 150% confident that you're going to enjoy today's conversation with my sister friend and very special guest, Maria Dowd. She's a dynamic motivational speaker and impassioned catalyst for women's empowerment. And she is also the founder of My Amazing Life. No matter where you are in life or where you live, it is your right and within your control to live your freedom every day. I am your host, Cheryl Cormier, live in Houston, Texas, and I want to welcome you to today's program, made possible because of two truly remarkable ladies, our show producer, Kayla Padgett, CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network, USA World, and Josie Hopkins, CEO and founder of Josie's Inspiration Radio Network, USA World. It's a blessing to be a part of their vision to reach and empower God's people around the world. First, I want to get right into today's conversation with our guest, Maria Dowd. Maria has authored 3 inspirational books, Journey to Empowerment, Journey to My Brother's Soul, and Journey to a Blissful Life, which was featured in Essence Magazine as one of the best books on personal renewal. Maria is also a contributing author to Delayed But Not Denied, Book 2, and the upcoming Book 3. I've known Maria for 18, 19 years now, and as someone who likes to quietly observe others, there's a lot to admire about this incredible woman. I've always admired her confidence and her presence. When all the black women I knew were still perming and straightening their hair, Maria boldly wore her glory crown in a bounty of loose, natural curls, and she is just as creative. proudly displayed in my home to this day as one of her very first collage artwork pieces. I know Maria to be a woman of vision and integrity, and I give her credit for creating the blueprint for the women's empowerment movement that is so prolific today. You can't even read a blog or go on social media without seeing multiple announcements about an upcoming conference, workshop, or retreat. But back then, in the early 2000s, there was African American Women on Tour. AWOT was an empowerment conference she toured with for over 13 years, and it garnered the support of such mega corporations as Bank of America, Chrysler, JCPenney's, ExxonMobil, and Kellogg. AWOT touched the lives of over 29,000 women worldwide by embracing, fueling, and celebrating their strengths, their endurance, and their brilliance. Hundreds, if not thousands, of careers and companies were launched because of the platform that this dynamic sister provided. So let's talk all about it. Good morning, sister friend Maria. Thank you for joining the conversation.
Good morning. That was the most amazing introduction, I promise you, that I've ever had my entire life. Thank you so much.
I am so excited to have you on here. I know everybody's going to be blessed through this conversation. And, you know, before we get to your newest brain trust, let's start with AWOT, African American Women on Tour, because that's where I met you.
Yes.
You did it best, and you did it before anyone else, and you virtually created that blueprint that people are still following today. What was your inspiration for AWOT?
I would say that my inspiration was Essence Magazine. The idea came about when I was under contract and on tour with Essence many, many years ago. They were kind of ramping up for their 20th, if you can believe this, 20th anniversary of their of Essence. At that time, this is a while ago. And they did, Essence was sponsoring and hosting a series of shopping mall promotions around the country, model searches, and so on. And I was a part of that crew. And that was really my first time witnessing women, Black women, get really like beyond excited about something that was perhaps outside of church, you know, or
right,
outside of, you know, our home life, but get that excited about seeing and witnessing something that was for, about, of Black women. And I, as I witnessed this from city to city to city, I came home to my little hometown of San Diego at the time, and with what, maybe 3 or 4% African-American population, most of which were transplants from someplace else because people got there by way of, typically by way of the military. And I wanted to create and produce an empowerment conference for Black women, and, you know, to provide this really safe space for women to come. And I would always say, let our hair out, because that's what it does best.
Right.
Let our hair out, and to get empowered, to be loved on, to, you know, grow sisterhood, to learn, to empower themselves, to have, you know, to have so many takeaways, just a whole, you know, bag full of takeaways to take back home to their families, to take back home into their careers, to their money situations, to their families, you know, to their love relationships, and so on. And so that was the inspiration, Essence Magazine.
My goodness, I tell you. And you actually did that and so much more. I know you gave many small companies and entrepreneurs that platform to connect with a virtually untapped market, this market of Black women who were seeking, who were hungry for that sense of empowerment and fulfilling. And I can personally attest to the significant role you played in one company, and that was Warm Spirit. As the former vice president of business development, I wanted to just take a moment in this call to say thank you for profoundly connecting us with our ideal woman. And that really propelled us to great success. It would not have happened without many people, but most especially you. And as the story of Warm Spirit is told, I pray that you will continue to be prominently mentioned as part of that company's amazing story.
Well, thank you for the acknowledgement. I really appreciate that. You know, that means everything. That really means everything. So thank you very much for that, Cheryl.
You're welcome. I mean, that was a wonderful incubator for the growth that we experience. But one of the things that I saw, your bio goes on to talk about the dramatic turn your life took after a divorce in 2012. And it says that it served as a light bulb moment. It sounds to me like that became the catalyst for your new empowerment program, My Amazing Life. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
I will. Yes. So after I was married for 8 years, in this marriage, I should say, this is my second marriage. But in this marriage, my second one, I was married for 8 years, and I was sitting in the audience. I was actually at a women's empowerment event, and so a lot of the women who were present at that event had, you know, they knew about African American Women on Tour. And I sat in that chair and I just witnessed how women were just, you know, standing on their chairs and tables and hooping and hollering and, you know, really being inspired and motivated and pumped up in that moment. And I just sat back. It was the saddest moment for me, because I said this used to be me. You know, this was my stomping ground, you know. Right. And I had came to realize that I was actually really, and this is not even realizing, this is kind of being in denial, that I was basically kind of in a toxic relationship, and which I felt I embraced, wrap my own self around, you know, having to walk on eggshells and to play it safe and to play small, right, so that I could stay safe, you know, emotionally and everything in that relationship. And so that was my impetus. And I shut my, you know, I literally got up from my seat after that experience, and because I was feeling envy, I was feeling all kinds of weird, unusual, crazy emotions that I typically don't. You know, I'm the one that's proud to see people excelling and doing well and everything. I said, oh, I felt envy, and I felt sadness. And I got up and I went to the bathroom and just started bawling, started crying. And I then said, okay, I'm getting myself together, you know, clean up my little makeup here. When you step outside, you need to look for this particular person who was the catalyst for getting me there at that event. Look for her and just find out, how can I be a part of this circle? How can I get reengaged with women and empowerment and all that, so that I could heal myself and to free myself and liberate myself. And so I walked out the door, and literally, I mean, God answered my prayer. I promise you, I walked out the door, and the woman that I needed to see was literally standing maybe 10 feet away. Wow. And this is in a hotel, so she could have been anywhere, but she was literally standing 10 feet away. And I waited for her to finish the conversation, and I said, I need to somehow be a part of this. I don't know how. I know that the place where I want to be is where all those women who are talking about, who invested $30,000-$40,000 in this program. I want to be a part of that, but I only have like $40 in my checking account right now. So how do I do this? And, you know, and she said, well, let me find out and let me ask the questions, because I know there are opportunities and there are ways to do that. And she made it, she was the impetus for making that happen and for me getting back in that circle. And it saved my life inside that space, because I was just around other women who were empowered and loving and wise and who walked the walk and talked the talk and all those things. I just need to be fed. And at the time, then that's when, you know, my husband and I started separating from, you know, our joint cohabitation. And it was that was the journey that started this whole impetus to creating My Amazing Life. Yes. And so, yeah. And so that's how it happened. And so the biggest lesson in that moment is just not fearing asking for what you want. You know, what is your big ask? What is it that you need? Ask for it. You know, because the worst case scenario is that somebody's going to say no. And that's okay too, because no does not necessarily mean never. It just means not now. And I learned that lesson, but it happened. I asked for what, yeah. So that was the impetus, and that's what got me on my journey to, you know, My Amazing Life.
Maria, you touched on so many wonderful things in what you just shared, and I think a lot of women, you know, Black women, white women, women around the world, find ourselves in situations where we play it small, we dumb it down, we compromise who we are, and lose ourselves in really accommodating the people that are around us. If you have one or two things, what would you tell someone who might find themselves in that situation to where it would help them be able to take that first step to really recover who they are?
That's a very good question. I would say that one of the first steps is to pay attention to your trusted advisors and people who have good insight, and they kind of are enlightened listeners and observers. Because oftentimes, even if you are kind of blindsided or you just don't, you refuse to see, first of all, it's there. You know, sometimes the situations that we get ourselves to, all the signs are there on the front end. We choose to ignore them. But then there are oftentimes trusted advisors and the kind of little angels around you who see things that you refuse to see or can't see. And so I would say, you know, just stop and listen and listen for that grain of truth, mm-hmm. in what they're saying, and rather than just shutting down or shutting them out. And then the other thing is, oftentimes we crawl into these little shells because we think we're the only ones experiencing something. We think that no one cares, or we think that no one will listen, no one will believe you. We talk ourselves into these spaces of disempowerment and darkness when there's just so much help and support and willingness to help pull you out of it, and to know that you're just never by yourself. You're really and truly never by. I mean, there is always someone in your circle or in a circle that's connected to another circle who has experienced what you've experienced and understand it, and can provide coaching and mentoring and wisdom and advice to help you to transition out of whatever that situation that you're in that's disempowering and potentially even dangerous for women and children.
Right. Absolutely. So, I mean, essentially it's don't cloister yourself away and separate yourself. Really seek out those lifelines that you might have that you may not even know that you have, this right there in your immediate circle.
Exactly. And then sometimes, and even in as quote unquote liberal as our society is here in the U.S., I said it quote unquote, other societies are even less liberal and less kind of open to hearing women and receiving what they're trying to say, their cries for help or their cries for support, a request for support. And so sometimes you have to step outside of your immediate family or your immediate circle, because oftentimes, the culture of that circle, that situation is kind of supported of just being quiet and taking it in it'll get better later or whatever, and expand your circle to include particularly women that are standing their ground. They are not, they're walking in a space of fearlessness and walking in faith and walking in this amazing light. And you want to somehow be a part of that, whether it's studying her works, of empowerment, or being in some kind of support groups, whatever that might be, to find the light, to find the courage, to find the words to express what it is that you're experiencing that is not serving you, and then to create a strategy for moving out of it.
Right. Absolutely. And I know one of your newest project is really all about serving others and providing that platform and that community for people. So can you tell us a little bit about My Amazing Life and how people might become a part of it and the components of it?
Yes. Well, let me just give you a little bit of background on how it even got started, because I was moving into this kind of gray space, because I just didn't know after my divorce and there were many, many good times that we had, and he was a great provider and very open-hearted. There was just some emotional things, instabilities that we, had to mesh through. And I didn't realize just really the impact that it had on me until after we were separate, after we were living in separate households. And so I had to, and then by this time I'm in, well into my 50s, and so like, what am I going to do next? The world has evolved and changed, and I'm keeping up with it is definitely, but, you know, it's a different world and a different, you know, what am I going to do next? You know, I consider myself like this quintessential marketer, but I couldn't tell you how to market, you know, effectively on social media, you know, I had to have help, you know, and so I shut myself down. It was holiday season, and I just went quiet and went into a room, and I said, let me just take a really honest look at where my breakdowns are, where my challenges are, where my, you know, reality check, and then where are my opportunities? What is it that I really want? What's my voice, Maria? You're getting your voice back now. What is it that you want to say? What is it that you want to do? And I started mapping my life out. I took every single area, my emotions, my wellness, my money, my family, my love, my spirituality, my experiences, all those things, and created, you know, some goals, my first round of goals, and created some declarations, some clear declarations of what I was going to, how, what kind of light and spirit I was going to walk in versus which path I was not ever going to take again. And I wrote all that out. I even have a description of the man in my life, what I'm looking for and what I want and need. And my last words are, and who will treat me like the queen that I am.
Amen.
And so in that experience, I said, you know, this has helped me. This is literally, I pulled myself out of this darkness, and I can take this and create an e-course, create a coursework around it to help women walk the same journey of self-discovery, of self-awareness, of self-love, of incorporating more self-care into our lives to, you know, become more of an activist and an advocate for our own selves as well as for our families and for our children. And so that's how I came to develop the course called My Amazing Life Map, because the finished product, but you're never finished because it becomes this working blueprint for your life.
Right.
It's your guidepost, it's your blueprint, it's your map for getting from point A to point Z. And what it takes and all the coaching and support and accountability and all the things and getting loved on and celebrating and all that stuff is incorporated into this program that I created called My Amazing Life Map.
Wow, that is truly the embodiment of taking your mess and making it your message, right?
Exactly. And when I say life, that's LYFE, live your freedom every day.
Right. Absolutely. And I know that the website, and we'll give it again, everybody, that website is www.myamazinglifelyfe.com. So I know, Maria, when I've gone on and I've looked at your site and I've kind of read through the materials and things, I see that you have a place for people to become subscribers and also affiliates. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am, I can. So to subscribe, you know, to subscribe, it gets you into our you know, circle, and you get our blog announcements and, you know, just different articles and things that you can really take and, you know, pull from it what you need and what you want and discard the rest of it. But it's some really, really good content that you get. But also, we have a community on Facebook called Life Lifts, LYFE Lifts, LIFTS. And basically it's a place where we just come, and it's a really safe place to come and to, it's a private group, by the way, and to really be heard and to share. And like one of the big questions that we asked, that I asked for April, I said, I'll start asking this every month. What is your big ask? ASK, what is the big thing that you want to ask for today? And it may be prayer, it may be support, it may be leads, maybe references, whatever that might be. Let's just start connecting. Let's start collaborating. Let's start loving on one another so that we can create these win-win-wins within our lives, you know, both within our personal lives, but in our professional lives, our financial lives, our love lives, and so on. And so by subscribing, you get involved in that, but then you can also, of course, invest in the course. You can, there's a lot of different things, and we have a gift that you can sign up for as well, that which is very powerful and useful for a lot of people.
Okay. And I know you wanted to share a little bit more about that. Is that the resource that you were telling me about?
Yes. It is. It is the, we created one of the things that I made a commitment to myself for was to incorporate more self-care into my life and to push back and take time out to focus on me and to grow me, to pamper me, to love on me, to and the operative word is me in all of this, and care for me. And I want all everybody who's listening to say, me, I'm important. I have a voice. I have a need. I have needs. I have desires. I have all these things. So the self-care guide is 365 ideas. No excuses, because they range anywhere from just lighting candles and saying a prayer to, you know, to planning a retreat in a foreign country, you know, and everything in between. And so there's nothing that I missed in that. And you know, in that guide that you can just pick and choose one little item, two little items, three, four, you know, here and there to, or do it with other sister friends to really focus on relieving that stress, to letting it go, to having whatever work done on you that's being called for. That might be massage, that might be prayer, it may be meditation, it might be reading a self-help book, it might be taking my Amazing Life Map course, it might be any number of those things that would help to soothe and to heal and to, you know, revitalize yourself and re-energize ourselves so we can get back into our families and back into our relationships, back into our work worlds, and be, you know, and live our very best life possible.
That's amazing, because, you know, so often we just kind of lose ourselves in everything else and we don't invest in taking care of ourselves. So I think that it's the 365-day self-care guide.
Yeah, so let me I can give you the link for it, or the link for it is https://. So it's like you would if you're going to a website, myamazinglife.com. So it's the same website, myamazinglife.com/self-care-guide.
Fantastic. And I'll post that as a reminder for everyone so that you have access to be able to get that. And don't forget, the website is myamazinglife.com. And so we want to make sure that everybody, look, if you want to be connected with a dynamic community and learn more, hear more, and just be a part of this amazing movement, this 2.0 movement for Maria Dowd. you'll want to go out there and go to www.myamazinglife.com. So there you have it, everybody. Maria Dowd, one dynamic woman. And if you remember these words from our last guest that we had on, Mr. Ty Gray-L, it said, if one woman made up her mind to no matter what be kind, no matter what others might put her through, the strength of that woman's resolve would all our problems solve. Mm. And just think what a million women like that can do. Thank you so much, Maria, for being my special guest on today's call.
And I am so honored and blessed to be a part of this. Thank you so much. And I admire the work that you're doing, Cheryl, and keep it up.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get started on my own self-care guy.
Very good.
Well, everybody, that's about all of the time we have for today. As a resonating thought to bless our souls, I wanted to end today by sharing a few words to a song that I was introduced to just last week. It's a short film, actually, entitled The God Who Sees, featuring Nicole Mullen, who has the voice, I tell you, of an angel. You can learn more and get more of the full experience by going to godwhosees.com. It was filmed in Israel as Nicole journeys throughout the Holy Land, recounting the stories of Ruth and David during their wilderness experiences, and ending with Mary Magdalene in Jerusalem at the tomb of the risen Savior, Jesus. Here's the story of Hagar, where the journey begins. Hagar was a single mother. She was abandoned by the family she belonged to. There in the wilderness with her son, alone with very little provision. She was wondering, she was questioning, does anyone care? She's crying in the desert. She's lost in her despair. She thinks nobody loves her. Hagar thinks nobody's there. But God says, I will be a ring of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. And the power of my presence will bring her to her knees, and I will lift her up again, for I am the God who sees. Then he speaks in a gentle whisper, and he softly calls her name. She feels his arms enfold her as he holds her, and she'll never be the same. Because I'm the God who never changes, and my promises are true, and when this world deserts you, this is what I'll do. I'll be a ring of fire around you, and I will be the glory in your midst, and the power of my presence will bring you to your knees, and I will lift you up again, for I'm the God who sees. I, the God who sees. My goodness, how powerful are those assurances. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what valley or desert we may find ourselves in today or maybe at some point in the future, we can always know that we're never, ever alone. God is always there. He's the God who sees. As we take comfort in that knowledge, we're signing off as you listen to the musical stylings of saxophonist Tom Braxton. The song is Tuesday Mornings from his album Next Chapter. You can learn more about his complete body of work on tombraxton.com or follow him on Facebook at Tom Braxton Music. Mark your calendar for upcoming shows and plan to tune in, and please invite your friends. We're here every other Tuesday, and you will receive words of encouragement, empowerment, inspiration, pearls of wisdom, and tools to help you navigate through your journey for physical, spiritual, and entrepreneurial success. This has been your host, Cheryl Cormier, with the fabulous Maria Dowd. Everything shared and everything offered is done with your success in mind.